And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on Missionary Radio. Well, here it is Wednesday, and of course, kind of a cloudy Monday. Or Monday. What am I thinking about? It's Wednesday, right?
Well, yeah, it's a Wednesday.
All day.
And it's more than cloudy between Clarksville and Hopkinsville. It is rainy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I left Clarksville, and it was just overcast.
Yeah.
And then I think from exit one all the way up to here, actually, to the building,
it
was a steady rain. Got pretty heavy on the interstate. Got here in the parking lot, and it was like I left Clarks. It was just barely coming down.
Just so, barely drizzled. Yeah. And, you know, it's not really saying until after 1, but looking at the radar, it looks like it could any time,
yeah,
really.
It could come in any time, but, you know, we'll always take the rain when it comes. But
oh, yeah.
Wasn't expecting that this morning. I was looking at the same weather forecast as you. I was thinking, in the late morning and the early afternoon we get it. But anyway, we don't have control of the weather, do we?
We have no control. That's right. You know, folks are saying, well, you read the weather every day. We don't have no control over
it. That's right.
I'm glad to know that I have no control over it.
Rain down thunder on some people?
Well, sometimes you'd want to. But anyway,
yeah.
But you know, and that's one good thing, being I don't have to worry about being in control of anything.
That's right.
Because we have somebody that's in control of everything.
Yeah, if you can submit to that control, then you're doing pretty good.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, Bane, good having you with me this morning.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. And what we're going to pick up today.
Well, we were talking just now about control, you know, the control.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we as Christians know that there is a God above who is in control. We left off last week talking about a division between people living on this earth. And there's a division between those who know Jesus, who believe on him, and are made spiritually alive by God. And then there's a division of those who are still controlled and governed by the spirit of the natural man, which ultimately falls under the control of the prince of the ruler of this world. And
That's right. We
know who that is. That's Satan himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the ruler of this world system. But God uses him as a tool, however he may, and will have his way with him in the end. But there is that division of inhabitants of this world, and we as Christians are told to have patience and love and kindness with them, because there's no way we're going to be able to have any influence over unbelievers' lives.
That's true.
If we're pounding them. We can't. There's never been an instance where you pound somebody into the kingdom.
Well, you know, and I know me and my wife, we talked a little bit about this last night. You know, we was talking about you have to use wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're talking to a lost person or somebody that's in the world,
that's right.
If you push too hard, you can push them further away.
You can, yeah.
You know, and we have to really be careful how we.
Yes.
Do things
and
how we handle ourselves and how we present Jesus to people, you know, because we can push people further away.
It's very possible. That's why we have to lean on the Holy Spirit's, you know, discernment and approach and just giving us the correct words and the right avenue at the right time.
Yes.
When we get in there and think we have the ability to do anything, is when we can mess things up
big time. That's right.
Everyone needs a copy of God's Word, but not all do. Here's Pastor Mark Vaughn of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton.
Listen to this: 1 billion people around the world wants a copy of God's Word, but do not have one. So we collect Bibles any shape they're in. Doesn't matter how bad they are, how torn. They can have pages out of them. They can just be just one page in the Bible, and that'll be more Bible than many folks have. They just have one page. And so we'll take anything that you have that you're not being used.
You can buy Bibles and send them around the world through love packages.
At $2 a copy, that's still very, very cheap. And they come in a case of 40. So for $80, you can buy a case of Bibles. We order them from different places. They'll be shipped directly to love packages. Got a check, Cedar Bluff Baptist Church. And in the memo, please put Bible Drive. And you can mail that to P.O. Box 105, Princeton, Kentucky, 42445.
You can also drop your Bibles by the station, 1100 East 18th Street in Hopkinsville.
Missionary Radio. And and welcome back to the Front Porch here on this Wednesday morning.
All right. Well, welcome back, everyone. We were talking about the division of the people who are living presently on this earth. There's a division of people you would classify as citizens of the world. They live under the world's rules, the world's ordinances, the world's ways. Mm-hmm. And then you have people living in the same space that would be classified as citizens of heaven. Those are those who know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are those who are guaranteed one day their citizenship will be in heaven. And those are those who are commanded in God's word to walk in this world as citizens of heaven while we are actually in our bodies as citizens of the earth. And we were talking off mic about citizens of heaven are to show kindness and yes. love and discernment. And we are told to woo people into the kingdom of God, just as we were wooed by the Spirit of God mm-hmm. into the mm-hmm. kingdom. And there's a difference between, pounding people on the head and yeah. Threatening them and saying things about God that may not be true. So anyway, that's where we left off. And last week, we actually left off in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. And that's where we'll pick up. It says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful avenue, a beautiful approach yes. to tell people that don't know him that there is something here that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, mm-hmm. neither has it entered into the heart of a man or woman, natural men and women, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Mm-hmm.
But God hath revealed them unto us, and that's speaking of those of us who are born again spiritually, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So that's just a beautiful teaser verse right there to get in to what we're talking about. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:11 tells us, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So that's speaking, I believe, of the natural man.
Mm-hmm.
As men and women born into this world, as children of the first Adam, we all have the same human tendencies that Adam had. We all have the same human weaknesses. We all have the same inborn desire to sin against our Creator as Adam had and as he transferred to mm-hmm. all of mm-hmm. us who are born into this world. This, I believe, is the spirit of man, which 1 Corinthians 2:11 is talking about. And that's something that we, as men and women who were born into this world, know. I mean, believers know that. We can identify that.
Yeah.
We know it, that we have these things all too well. Verse 11 continues, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So what does that tell us? God has to intervene.
Yeah.
God has to show us.
Mm-hmm.
He has to bring that revelation to us. There's no way the spirit of man or the natural man will ever know the things of God unless God reveals it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God did by providing to mankind the avenue to him, the way to him, the bridge to him that covers that chasm of sin. And who is that?
Jesus.
That's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the key. Jesus told the disciples about 19 hours before he died on the cross, Brian, that he wouldn't leave them comfortless.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to the Father. I'm going back to where I came. But don't worry, when I go, I will not leave you comfortless. He was speaking of the Spirit of God that we're just talking about, who brings revelation of God's kingdom to those who have never noticed it or never seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
So the Spirit of God would come in his place and not only come and dwell among us, but as believers in Jesus Christ, we're told in Scripture, he will reside in us.
Mm-hmm.
We will be his tabernacle. And Jesus said this about him in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. As a Bible student, when you're reading the pages of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's almost impossible for you to remember everything that you read. But as you read and become more familiar with it, and as you yield to the Holy Spirit, there will be times in your conversation and in your prayers that verses will come to light, and you will naturally or you will supernaturally speak them back to God or speak them to people around you. That's what the Comforter has. That's what he can give us if we yield to that. He also said this about him. Jesus also said this about him in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So we're going to get a discernment here from the Holy Spirit. We will be able to see and detect what is true, as well as see and detect what is not true. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Take heart. That's another gift of the Holy Spirit. He'll give you peace. He'll give you that peace. You will know the things that are coming. This isn't a blind life that we live in. We know the end as believers in Jesus Christ because God's Word revealed it to us, and the Holy Spirit will remind us of what is to come in the future. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our connection to God. God will speak to us through the Holy Spirit. He is the one who will reveal to us all understanding of the Scriptures. He is the one who wants to mold us, Brian, into the image of Jesus.
Yes.
He's the one who can give us the power and the gifts we need to overcome all worldly obstacles. He's the one who will give us the discernment we need to know the truth of God and also know the lies and deception of the world. And by his presence in us, he is our seal. He is the proof of our salvation.
Yeah.
Believers in Jesus Christ know what's right and what's wrong. They know.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit will reveal this is truth.
Yes.
This is false. This is right and this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no excuse. Have no excuse for doing things that are wrong, but when we do, and it's not, as long as we're living in this world, we're susceptible to doing what is wrong.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit's the one who convicts us. He's the one that brings us to our attention. The citizens of the world will do these things and feel no remorse, and they will continue doing them until somebody or God touches them and reveals these things to them as right and wrong. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. No, we were born into that. But the Spirit which is of God. This is what we receive when we know the truth, when we believe on Jesus, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We don't work for them. It's not a works, lest no man boast. These things are given to us freely of God. So there are three spirits mentioned in those two verses. There's a spirit of man, there's a spirit of God, and there's a spirit of the world. Now, the spirit of man, what we just covered, is fleshly, natural, sinful, earthly, and dead. We are dead in our trespasses and sins until we become born again. That's why we need to be born again, have experienced a second birth. The spirit of the world is where these natural men and women are born, where these natural men live, and where these natural men will eventually die. Left on their own, there's no hope for mankind or for the world. Without God, as Ecclesiastes says, we simply are born, we live, we work, we toil, and then we die.
Yeah.
And sadly, this is the worldview, Brian, or the spirit of the world that is prominent in our culture today. Most people, because of the education system, because of what is just shouted out constantly through media, mm-hmm. through TV, through movies, through all the media that we're exposed to today, they feel like, you know, this is it. This is it. This is our existence.
Yep.
That worldview will always lead to death. It will lead to a physical death.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not it. That's not the end. And after that physical death, without receiving the revelation from God, it will lead to the second death. Mm-hmm. The Bible's clear on that. That's an eternal death mentioned to us in Revelation 20. But verse 12 tells us, we, those of us who are born again, have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of who? God.
God, yeah. That's
a, and once we receive the spirit which is of God, what might we know? We are told in that verse, the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Mm-hmm. And right now, what?
Pen from the heart.
All right.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thanks for all the hard work to keep Missionary Radio on the air. From Hopkinsville, great is your faithfulness. We appreciate each of you. From Katie's, thank you all for your faithful service of spreading the good news around the world. I've been listening since I got saved years ago. You have always helped me stay focused on Jesus. Thank you for your continued obedience to God. Praying for you all always.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Missionary.
Missionary Radio.
Missionary Radio, and this is the front porch of Bing Burbus this morning.
That's right. That's right. We were talking about a difference between the natural man, citizen of this world, and the spiritual man, also a citizen of this world, but has been labeled a citizen of heaven. That's the destination. The spiritual man, who is a citizen of heaven residing in this world, is guaranteed to one day reside in heaven.
Yes.
In the New Jerusalem, in a room that Jesus is preparing for each believer right now. The natural man has not that guarantee nor that promise. Natural man has to be illuminated. It has to be revealed what is true in this world. And I don't care what anybody says, any news source says, any religious leader says. What is true in this world today is you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have to.
To enter into the kingdom
of
God. There's just no other message. And that's why Christianity is so attacked.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, because the devil knows that that's the only avenue for people in this world to enter into eternity with their God. People in this world, all people in this world will enter into eternity. That's a guarantee.
Yeah.
But only those who believe in Jesus will enter into eternity with their God.
Yeah.
You don't want to be entering into eternity or into everlasting life without him. That's something you just don't want to do. And there are many scripture verses spoken of by Jesus himself that make it sound terrible, your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So the Spirit of God is spiritual. It's sinless, it's righteous, and forever alive. It's alive.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God is the only way a natural man can become a... Do you want to be a supernatural man? Yes, you do. Or a supernatural woman.
Amen.
And this is the only way a natural man can ever escape. That's, and this is another true statement, the spirit of this world, which will clasp on you, which will be like a vine choking you, which will try to hold you down. You have to escape the spirit of this world, this current of this world that we are born into. The natural man in this world are caught up in the physical realm, Brian. Everything we see, think about this, everything we see, everything we hear, everything we smell, everything we touch, everything we taste is a part, it's all a part of our physical existence upon this physical earth. Mm-hmm. And left on our own, not enlightened by the Spirit of God, there's no way we will ever escape the blindness of what our physical existence has conditioned us to be by our physical senses ever since our birth. Mm-hmm. Our eyes first opened, we saw, we sucked the milk from our mother, we tasted that, and we just conditioned early on to be mm-hmm. a physical creature. 2 Corinthians 4:18 was a verse that hit me like a freight train when I first became a believer. It says this, while we, and this is speaking of those who have been enlightened, while we look not at the things which are seen, and that's everything, but at the things which are not seen, mm-hmm. and that's a mystery in itself. We look to the things which are not seen,
yeah.
For the things which are seen are, the Bible tells us, temporal. They're temporary.
That's right. That's
They're going to be here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But the things which are not seen are eternal. The natural man, without the Spirit of God revealing it to him, will never look to and will never hope for the things which are not seen. But those of us who are born again, those of us whose spiritual eyes have been opened by the Spirit of God, can see plainly. We can see plainly because Scripture has revealed to us God's throne room.
Mm-hmm.
We can see plainly our invisible, eternal dwelling place called the New Jerusalem. We can see plainly that everything that has to do with our physical presence on this earth, and even the physical earth itself, will one day be consumed by a fervent heat. We can see that because it's written, it is true.
Mm-hmm.
And then this earth will be recreated, created anew by God the Father into something that even us will never be able to comprehend while we are mortal beings in our present state upon this earth. And I don't think we'll even be able to comprehend the grandeur and the splendor and the immensity and the endlessness of it when we enter there in our mm-hmm. resurrected bodies. Now, with all that being said, let's look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, those who are enlightened by the Spirit of God will speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We have a new tutor. Believers in Christ have a new tutor. Now, we just referred to in chapter 1, Paul was warning the Corinthians that there should be no division in the church, but there should be one huge division concerning the church of that day and also concerning the church of today. And what was that division? Well, we just talked about it. The division the church should have in separating itself not from the world, because that's our evangelistic outreach, but from the ways of the world. We should separate ourselves from the ways of the world, which today would commonly be called our worldview or our eternal perspective about life. Are we viewing our existence on earth strictly from the physical perspective, or are we viewing our existence on this earth with a spiritual purpose in mind? That's a question. Knowing there's something more to this life than the physical. We know this. We should know this. The world does not. And then 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And this is what it says, Brian. And this is why we can have patience and long-suffering on those who do not yet know. It says, for the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Mm-hmm. They're just not getting it. Mm-hmm. They just can't understand it. It seems too good to be true at times, maybe. I don't know. And then it says, neither can he know them. And why can't he know them? Well, the verse ends with, because they are spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. Now, that tells us that there's got to be a connection to a spirit to discern them. And we know there has to be a connection or a revelation from the Spirit to discern them. So let's all look at Ephesians. We'll go to Ephesians 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. And this is what is told. And you, and we can put in parentheses, natural man, and you, natural man, hath he quickened, hath he made alive, spiritually alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past, before your rebirth, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's speaking of Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When you see all this craziness going on in this world, you know the source. It's the prince of the power of the air who's doing it, among whom also we all had our conversation. Or we could say, at one time, we all had our citizenship in that realm. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, even as those right now out there who do not know the truth. This all describes the state of all natural men and women upon this earth. If God allowed natural men and natural women to live on this earth without ever being touched by the Spirit of God, the result will always be the same. We've seen that in history. We've seen rises of kingdoms. Mm-hmm. And without the Spirit of God in that mix of that kingdom, we've seen those kingdoms tumble down, crumble, yes, and fall. Yes. Now, Galatians 5:19 says, and I'll read these next three verses, and then we'll go to a break, where all natural men and natural women will always gravitate to. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, this is where the works of the flesh will lead. Which are these? Now think of these things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we'll leave it there, and we're going to have a visit from a very good friend of Missionary Radio.
That's right, Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio.
When it comes to witnessing, we usually think about words, right? We tell people about Jesus, we get into conversations about his gospel, we talk to others, thinking of the right words to choose. Speaking about the Lord is something that should be as natural as saying, God bless you. But sometimes it's not what you say that conveys the gospel, it's what you don't say. In fact, I experienced this the other day. I had purchased a brand new shirt from Chico's. I love the color, it fit just right. And the first day, I mean, the very first day I wore it, Ken and I were eating a meal together, and he wanted me to enjoy a bite of his dessert. Try this ice cream, he said. It's really good. No thanks, I told him. I'm full. Johnny, you got to try it. It's so good. Come on, he insisted. And he held out the full spoon with his other hand cupping it. I gave him a, okay, you win look, and he put it up for me to taste. No sooner did I open my mouth when soupy ice cream dripped on my nice new shirt. Ken was horrified. Oh, no, look what I did, he said. I'm so sorry. He knew the shirt was brand new. Somehow, though, I knew this was going to happen. And I told him, it's okay, it's okay. So then he tried to wipe it off right away with a wet tissue. Really, I told him, don't worry about it. It's no problem. I could tell he felt awful. Ken Tata, it's fine. It'll come out in the wash. Don't worry. It's just a shirt. My husband right there tried to convince me to go online to Chico's and buy a replacement. But really, it was okay. Honestly. And much later on, the next day, Ken thanked me and shared how grateful he was that I gave him such a free pass. I think he knew what he would have said had I spilled something on his nice new shirt, but that's another story. Anyway, the point is, I don't know if Ken realized it or not, but what I really gave him was the gospel. Not through what I said, but what I did not say. I did not say, "Why did you make me take that ice cream?" or, "I can't believe you did that. Don't you know this is a brand new blouse?" Now, sure, there was a time I would usually say those grating, accusing words, but not now, not as long as we've been married, not this time. They were never spoken, those words. What I said was, "Sweetheart, it's just a blouse. Life is bigger. My time together with you is so much bigger than a soiled shirt." That right there may be the best way to give the gospel, especially in the small irritations of life. Yes, you can declare the gospel with persuasive words, but to demonstrate the good news with unspoken words, oh boy, that is mercy. And maybe it might be just as powerful, if not more powerful, than what you say. To show the good news in action, not just talk about it. Long ago, early in our marriage, I memorized 1 Corinthians 13, because when it comes to marriage, there's nothing like that phrase, quote, "Love does not keep a record of wrongs." Wow. Anne Graham Lotz once said, "A witness that is lived can be as powerful as the one that is spoken. It's not what you say, but sometimes what you don't say, that catches the attention of those around you, which is one reason God allows injustice and hardship, because problems offer us the opportunity to give silent, relevant witness to the difference faith in God can make." Oh, friend, it's a way to witness about the mercy of Jesus, and it is oh so powerful. Just ask my husband.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:11, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." Chuck Swindoll says, "To walk by faith does not mean that we stop thinking. To trust God doesn't imply becoming slovenly or lazy or apathetic." What a distortion of biblical faith. You and I need to trust God for our finances, but that is no license to spend foolishly. You and I ought to trust God for safety in a car, but we're not wise to pass at a blind curve. We trust God for our health, but that doesn't mean we can chain smoke, stay up half the night, and subsist on potato chips and Twinkies without consequences. Faith and careful planning go hand in hand. They always have. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Of course, once again, the front porch on this Wednesday.
All right. We left off talking about, the manifestation of where the works of the flesh will lead. And we've seen it. As I mentioned, we've seen it in history. We've just seen kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall without the knowledge of God. And it'll continue to be that way unless God comes in and inhabits the citizens of those kingdoms and leads them into the way everlasting. Now, this is where the world without God will always head. This is always the direction of the natural man, and anyone caught up in this worldview, anyone who is plugged into the physical existence only, will not, according to Galatians 5:21, when we read it before the break, inherit the kingdom of God. They're just not going to. Mm-hmm. Now, going back to Ephesians 2:4, though, you want some good news, Brian?
I love good news.
"But God,
okay,
who is rich in his mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," it tells us, "hath quickened us." That means hath made us alive together with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good news, folks. That's the good news of the gospel. In other words, God has provided a way for all natural men and all natural women who were dead in their trespasses and sins, just as that verse describes us, to be made spiritually alive, to be made spiritually connected with Jesus, the same Jesus Christ who was born in a stable of the Virgin Mary, the Jesus Christ who all the prophets foretold, the Jesus Christ that the law that was given to the children of Israel showed them that they could never achieve righteousness there, but had to be from the man that Moses said, a prophet like me will come, and him you'll listen to. And that's the one. Jesus is the one. Jesus told Nicodemus this was called what? Being born again. You know, I love born again. I will never stop saying born again, I believe. It's not a term that's used a lot in churches today.
No.
But Jesus told this to Nicodemus, you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, Ephesians 2:5 continues to tell us this, by grace you are saved. That's it. Nothing of ourselves. We don't, as natural men and women, deserve this. It comes freely from God. It comes from God's grace. Ephesians 2:6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the place. Even though we can't physically see it now, remember, we look to the things which are unseen, where we must focus our eyes upon and where we must continually walk towards. While we're walking through this journey, this pilgrimage in through this world, we are to keep our eyes there. Why? Well, verse 7 tells us why. That in ages to come, and this is something that us as born-again believers in Christ will share together one day, in ages to come that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. God has a plan for us. He wants to show us. He wants us to be his trophies.
Yes.
For by grace you are saved through faith, it says. We got to believe what the God of creation has told us, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, what? Lest any man should boast. No one, Brian, will inherit eternal life in the presence of God, will ever be able to say, I got here because of the thing that I've done. No one will ever be able to say that.
Nope.
How can we boast when we realize where we came from and who pulled us out of that? Do you see why God hates men and women who boast?
Yeah.
That's pride, boastfulness, those things are things that God hates. Now, if we go back to 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is a judge of no man. So once we've seen the truth of God revealed to us by the Spirit of God, there's only one truth, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we can weigh what we know now with every falsehood, with every lie, with every deceitful teaching, with every demonic doctrine that prevails and rules, for the most part, unknowing people in the world today. We who are now spiritual should be living under the control of the Holy Spirit and mind the things of the Spirit. These are so easy to say over the air, but they're so difficult.
Sure.
They're so difficult.
Yeah.
We all struggle with that. You know, I'm not saying that from the perspective that I've got a handle on all this. I don't.
Yeah.
And Brian doesn't. Nobody does. We're all under this. Ephesians 4:22 tells us that ye put off concerning the former conversation or the former citizenship of the old man, which is corrupt according to these deceitful lusts. And then it goes on to say, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Where does the battle take place?
In your mind.
It's in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it says this, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then, having read that, let's listen to what Colossians 3:5 tells us in a more radical way, what we must do as one who is spiritually led in this world. We are told there, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And what is our members? Well, it goes on to say fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walk sometime. So we can relate to the people around us who do not know the truth yet, when you lived in them. But now you also put off these. So we have this in our mind when we encounter these decisions that we must make as believers in Jesus Christ. It's a decision we make in our mind to put off these things like anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of our mouths. Mm-hmm. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. And I love this, Brian, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. All these things that will come into our minds if we join in on this battle and yield to the Spirit's leading is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And that's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God the Father. And Galatians 5:24 simply says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. These are things, like I said, are easy to read mm-hmm. and easy to share, but so very hard to do. Remember what 1 Corinthians 2:15 told us. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. As one who is born again by the Spirit of God, as one who knows the difference between God's truth and the untruths of the present world, there is no natural man on this earth that can bring accusation against us or that can condemn us for doing what is right in God's eyes. And then verse 16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And the answer is, no natural man can know or will be instructed by the mind of the Lord. And then verse 16 ends with, but we who are spiritually born and not only know the mind of the Lord, but we have, this is what it says, we have the mind of Christ. It is there. It's accessible. So we head into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which we will do, Lord willing, next Wednesday. We'll see there is a vast difference, or there should be, between the way the world conducts itself and lives on this earth and the way the church conducts itself and lives on this earth. Think about that. When you enter into those church walls on Sunday, there should be a vast difference in the way mm-hmm. citizens of heaven live compared to citizens of the world.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord, for the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the benefits and just the beautiful future that believers in Jesus Christ are guaranteed to have when we put our faith in him. It's your plan. It's the good news. Let us share it here on Missionary Radio until Jesus comes back. In his name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.